Hey, welcome to Blue Wire. After you finish listening to this awesome Blue Wire podcast, make sure you check out the other pods in our Blue Wire family. Okay, I know, you're probably wondering, how do I do that? Well, it's simple. Go to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and search Blue Wire. Ta-da! They will all be there, so have fun listening.
Welcome to Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. I'm Ricky O'Donnell. I'm with Jason Pat. Jason, how's it going, man?
I'm doing all right. I'm just kind of ready for this bowl season to be over. Like I said, it's been tough to stay interested, follow along with this team since literally like none of their good players outside of Robin Lopez are playing. But I guess we should give a shout out to Chicago's own Walter Lemon Jr., who I don't want to say single-handedly, but beat the Wizards tonight. Bulls beat the Wizards 115 to 114. Also, shout out to the Wizards for finally firing Ernie Grunfeld after 16 mostly mediocre years. I tweeted this the other day yesterday when they fired him, that as much as we like to shit on Gar, Pax, whatever in the Bulls front office, Wizards in Grunfeld's 16 years never won 50 games, never got past the second round. Like, that's crazy. And they've had some good players. They had some fun teams, but just it's absolutely wild. They finally fired him, which I'm pretty sure this means Paxson's like the longest tenured, or at least longest tenured, like a guy who like hasn't really won anything. Obviously, the Bulls' farthest they've gotten under Paxson is 2011 when they went to the Eastern Conference Finals. But back to tonight's game, I really did not watch that much of it. I was watching the Cubs suck it up, was also watching some Game of Thrones, coming back in a couple weeks. But I was following along a bit. Walter Lemon Jr., 24 points, 8 assists, the new career high. The Bulls, they just picked him up out of Julian High School in Chicago. He went to Bradley for college. He's had a couple really nice games out of three since the Bulls picked him up, and he had the game-winning free throws in the last couple seconds tonight. It was mostly just kind of a tank-off, if you will, in the fourth quarter. The Wizards, they didn't play Bradley Beal much, I don't think at all in the fourth quarter. The Bulls are playing, they're basically playing a G League lineup. I know Shaq Harrison had some big baskets on the stretch, and Walter Lemon Jr., big basket down the stretch, and the game-winning free throws to beat the Wizards. The Bulls have won like three games. Since that Sixers game that LaVine won, the Bulls have won like three games, two are against the Wizards. It's just kind of funny how bad the Wizards are. I mentioned the Grunfeld stuff. So shout out to these guys are playing hard. They're running out the string, but I mean, it's just so hard to really just be invested in them, right, at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. But Walter Lemon Jr., that second team all G League selection.
That's right.
Walter Lemon Jr. to you, Jason. He was named that today for the year for the Windy City Bulls. He averaged 20 points, 8.7 assists. Not much of a shooter. He only took two threes a game and only hit 26%. So I guess it's a good story, though. So he's 26 years old, so it's not like he's fresh out of school, but these are sort of some fun stories at the end of every NBA season when the dudes who have been grinding for, 5-6 years as a pro finally get their shot to play in the NBA. And that's happened with Walt Lemon Jr. this year. And he's played pretty well. He played great tonight. I mean, finishing with 24 points, 8 assists, making the clutch free throws at the end. Like Zach LaVine tweeted, show us what you're about, Walt Lemon Jr.
Yeah, and he showed two out of. I know he didn't play well the Bulls' last game before this when they lost at the Knicks, which is brutal. But like, I mean, they were down by like 30 at one point in that game. They came back and made it a game. I know he didn't play well in that game, but he played well in his debut the other game against the Raptors. They got blown out in that game, obviously, but he played pretty well in that game as well. He had 19 points in his Bulls debut on 8 of 15 shooting, and he had 6 assists, 4 steals. Like, he's been the stuff in the stat sheet. Like, obviously, this stuff really doesn't mean much. Like, we don't expect Walt Lemon Jr.
This is the time we're ever talking about Walt Lemon Jr.
Yeah. Like, some people, like, somebody tweeted at me some comment. I'm sure it was made in jest about, like, oh, man, if this Walter Lemon Jr. guy keeps playing well, like, maybe they have their point guard. Obviously, like, it's a great, nice end-of-season story. We saw some of it with, like, Andre Ingram with the Lakers last year. It's a cool thing, especially since he's a Chicago guy. I like this better than the Sean Kilpatrick nonsense when he was ruining the tank last year. Like, I'd much rather have a nice Walter Lemon Jr. Chicago story when the tank – we talk about the tank. The Bulls are basically locked into the number four spot. Like, people complaining about winning this game today. The Cavs have been losing a ton. Like, they were two games – I think they were two games ahead, and they've been two games ahead for a while because both teams are on long losing streaks. this win today basically locks them into the four spot. They were probably going to be there anyways, even if they continued losing and even if they lost out. I don't think the Cavs are going to win a couple games. Their schedule's tough. They've been sitting Kevin Love, I think, a few times. So, like, whatever, winning this game doesn't matter. Well, go off, Walter Lemon Jr.
Yeah, so what you need to know about the Bulls right now, they got three games left. They play Philly at home on Saturday. They play the Knicks at home on Tuesday. And they close the year at Philly on Wednesday, April 10th. And that's it for the Bulls. And like Jason said, they're locked into the fourth spot right now. Their record is 22-57 overall. Cleveland has 19 wins. Phoenix is 18. The Knicks have 15. So that means the Bulls will have a 12.5% chance of winning the lottery. And that goes down, I think it's like May 13th. I don't have the exact date in front of me.
I think it's 13th or 14th, something like that.
So that's it for Chicago Bulls basketball. And in what a year it's been. I don't know if you saw the article that Stefan wrote at The Athletic today.
I did.
Jim Boylan's best quotes up into one page. It was absolutely remarkable. How Boylan, I mean, this is just the number one thing I'm going to remember about this whole year. I'll read off some of the best of them right now. So here's Boylan on Otto Porter Jr. His approach is already respected. His spirit is acknowledged. He's got a brightness about him and a care factor. Boylan on Chandler Hutchinson. Hutch has got such a good spirit. I think to be a good NBA player, you've got to have a good spirit. His spirit is so positive. Shaq Harrison, too, is the same way. His spirit is so good. More on Hutchinson. His heart's here. His soul is awesome. It's great. On Lauri Markkanen, his soul and his spirit are big time. On Robin Lopez, when your heart is pure and you care, I think points happen for you. The ball finds you. More on Robin Lopez. He's a giving, caring person who's a tough son of a bitch. Exactly. Well, he's got a great spirit. On Bobby Portis, got a great soul, a great spirit for the game. On Shaq Harrison, his spirit is so good. More Harrison. I always kind of said defensively, he's like a mad dog chasing a meat truck, but he's playing within a system now. It's great. So that's just a small sampling of a great piece on the year in Jim Boylanisms from Stefan today at The Athletic. And that's what I'm going to remember most about this year.
I mean, absolutely incredible. As you could hear us, just absolutely dying laughing. I mean, he says this. I would love to know who Jim Boylan thinks does not have a good spirit. Like, he would never call. I guess he's not the guy who would ever really call us. I guess he did kind of call them out earlier in the year when they were getting their ass beat all the time. But like, literally every guy on the team, he says, has great spirit. I want to know who doesn't have the great spirit, who doesn't have a great soul, Jim Boylan. I want to know who on the Bulls does not have a great soul, because it seems like. Everybody
I'm not
does.
Done doing Boylan quotes. Boylan on Wayne Selden Jr. Those plays that Wayne made, that made me want to play again. It does something to your nervous system. It makes you want to go out and dive on somebody. Boylan,
oh, man.
On the aftermath of the infamous canceled practice, we're going to keep working and grinding and communicating and hugging and crying and laughing and moving forward. That is an all-time great quote. I don't remember the hugging and crying and laughing. God, that's so good. On the creation of a leadership council that everyone in the league would soon mock, we got a good group of guys and a good leadership group that has been sparkling the layers of our team. I'm juiced, man. I'm jacked up about it.
Jacked and juiced, one of my favorites. Just, oh my God. I think Cody Westerlund, the score, Bulls beat writer, has said, like, just like we both really don't want Boylan back, but just like bringing him back in general, just for these gems of quotes, like, would almost make it worth it, even if we think he's a complete boob. Like, I mean, this is absolutely hilarious. It's obviously great for the beat writers to get these quotes. They're help them get their Twitter accounts up, write great stories out of them, because I mean, shit is hilarious. Like it's so ridiculous that it's funny. Like I don't know like what these guys actually think of him. Like, it seems like things have gotten better in terms of like the player relationships. I'm sure they appreciate him, like him saying all this great stuff about him, but just like, it's just like so ridiculous and obnoxious that it's just hilarious to listen to. And you reading these
Dakar
quotes
Samson.
Off.
He was in our hearts and in our minds all year, not just because he was with our G League team, but because of what he did in training camp. More on Samson. Things don't go unnoticed when you play good basketball with a pure heart, and he did that early. We're glad he's here. God, Jim Boylan, man. Too funny. That's on your heart, man.
What a guy.
Your hearts and inner minds all year.
I guess just that's a good transition now as well, just talking about bringing Boylan back, and the possibility of that is Fred Hoiberg has a new job now. So that means the Bulls are off the hook for some money next season. Fred Hoiberg hired by Nebraska, shout out to the Big Ten, taking over, I believe it's a 7-year, like $25 million deal, something like that. So it's basically $3.5 million a year, which means the Bulls, who initially owed him $5 million next season, will now only owe him about $1.5 million. Boylan is under contract. He's got $1 million guaranteed of a $1.6 million contract next year. That's what basically the Bulls are paying. They have like $2.5 million guaranteed to coach next year. Casey Johnson wrote right after the Fred Hoiberg hiring that there was speculation now that now the Bulls, they got some of this money off the books now. They won't have to pay. Does that mean that they'll be more interested in doing a full coaching search? He says the front office, we've seen it publicly, the way Michael Reinsdorf talked, the way Paxton's talked, they apparently just love Jim Boylan. They love the way he teaches. They love the way he holds people accountable, all that jazz. Like, so it certainly does not seem like Jim Boylan's going. It seems like we're going to get another year, or at least another start of a year with Jim Boylanisms next season. I know we've obviously talked about Boylan a lot. You thought a long time ago he shouldn't have coached another game on this team. I mean, what do you think about the Jim Boylan now that Fred has got a new job? If you have any thoughts about Fred getting a new job, go ahead as well on that. But just like, do you see them at all going away from Boylan, even doing a full coaching search? You think they're just gonna ride with Mr. Jacked and Juiced?
I can't believe Hoiberg took that Nebraska job. First of all, he was getting paid a guaranteed $5 million next year to not work. This is correct, right?
Yeah. Bulls owe him full $5 million next year.
That's really crazy because Nebraska is a trash program. Nebraska made the NCAA tournament since 1999. Hoiberg's grandpa actually used to be the coach there, which I didn't know until I was reading up on it. So I guess maybe that lineage kind of played a role in it. But, man, I don't know why Hoiberg's taking over Nebraska. I know he's got the personal connections there. But, dude, why not do what Thibodeau did for his year off, which is just get paid, travel, go network with everyone you can around the NBA, maybe around college hoops too. I'm just surprised that Fred must have been really itching to get out of Hinsdale and to like stop going to yoga with his wife.
I feel like he's been going around and doing a lot of stuff.
He
and we saw him
Jack's NCAA tournament game. Jack's a lot of missions.
Right, yeah. I know he went and talked at York High School, my old high school. Obviously, that's close to Hinsdale. And I feel like I've seen him. Did he talk with like the Warriors? I feel like I saw at one point. Like, I feel like he's been kind of going around. He's looking a bit jacked recently. Like, why not just do that? Like, maybe it seemed like the reporting afterwards is that he preferred the NBA. Like, why not wait it out a bit? And like, Nebraska's, I mean, it is Big Ten is the Big Ten, I guess. And maybe Nebraska's, I don't know much about Nebraska basketball. If they're on the rise, like at all, I feel like they're disappointed this year a bit. It is kind of strange, I guess, but I guess, like I said, it helps the Bulls. And I don't know.
You know who loved that, and it's Jerry Reinsdorf, because being able to offset that salary is pretty big for them. I don't think it's going to play a factor in the Bulls' decision of whether or not they want to keep Jim Boylan next year. I think we're stuck with Jim Boylan for best-case scenario, like you said, half the season, and then it's like it's another wasted year.
So on that note, like, do you think if they do go with Boylan, do you think they're going to give him like a year extension, like a more full deal? Because like if they don't, he's just kind of a lame duck, and like it's just weird either way. I feel like they almost like have to commit to him longer, or just actually do a coaching search and possibly hire somebody else. Like I'll be curious to see what way they go. Like obviously, I think they need to do a coaching. I mean, they didn't really do a coaching search for Hoiberg. I know they're just going to roll with Boylan here as well after really not, I mean, he's been around for a while. He was on Hoiberg's staff and they've been kind of a dumpster fire for most of the season outside of like 1 month. Like they're just cool with that. They're just not going to do another search and just going to roll with Boylan. And I don't know. Would you give him like, if they, I guess you probably would not, but if they do stick with them, like, do you think they should give him like an extension of at least like a year so he's not totally lame duck?
Standard practice for actual head coaches who people take seriously. Like, I don't anticipate the Bulls are going to sign any big free agents, so I don't think the lame duck coach is going to like factor into someone's free agent decision. Though, like, they are going to have $19 million to play with. Maybe they try to bring back Robin Lopez. Maybe they try to go after a point guard like Patrick Beverley or someone of that ilk. But I think the level of free agent that they're going to try to recruit is going to be below the tier where they would factor in head coach stability. That's just my immediate take on it. So I do anticipate Boylan to be a lame duck coach going into next year if they struggle, because...
And they have to fire him.
I really think this year, Paxson and Foreman thought that the Bulls like could potentially compete for a playoff spot. I really believe that based on their...
I agree, yeah.
Press conference quotes and all that. Meanwhile, Vegas had the Bulls. I think it was the third worst team coming into the season.
They opened at 27.5. They went up to 30 by the time the season opened.
Yeah, and they're going to finish as the fourth
one. They're going to go under.
And they're going to go under. Yeah, they got 22 wins right now. So, obviously, they did have a ton of injuries to a lot of key pieces. So, that factors in, too. But I think that next year the Bulls are going to expect to make a major move up the standings. That's just my...
Yeah, no, not, absolutely.
You know, maybe that means they throw $10 million a year at Patrick Beverley, which is way more than he makes right now. I don't have that number in front of me, but... I remember that his last contract was pretty reasonable for the team. So I expect them to make one pretty big-ish free agent move, hope for growth from Lowry and Zach and durability from those guys. And then they're going to have a draft pick. If it's not Zion, maybe it's Ja Morant. And I think that they're going to expect to jump up the standings next year. And so if Boylan isn't winning, similar to how Hoiberg wasn't winning this year, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets canned, but... My inclination is that Boylan will not get an extension to, you know, over the summer.
I totally agree with the expectation level. I also agree that they thought they were going to be good this year. I mean, Paxson said that last season that he didn't want another tanking year. They ended up basically tanking anyways, between just them not being as good as they thought, between the injuries, it just kind of naturally happened. I think it's reasonable to expect them to be better next year. I mean, because I feel like there is some talent there, but you do have to worry about the durability of these guys. Like, Levine's gotten hurt a lot. Lowry's been hurt a lot. Like, Porter's had some nagging stuff going on lately. Like, it's like you can't really at this point fully expect that these guys are going to be healthy all season. So, like, that is a reason to have some concerns. I feel like if they don't take a next step forward, I mean, we've been saying this forever. If they don't take a next step forward next year, I mean, they need to clean house. That probably won't happen, but like, I mean, you get 3 years in rebuild. If you're not going anywhere, if you're in year three and you're still winning like 30 games only, like, I feel like it's good. The front office has to go, but we've hammered on that point, I guess, enough at this point. So, yeah.
Not going to happen. It would have to affect the money. But I heard from a guy who was a longtime season ticket holder who told me that Michael Reinsdorf personally called him. When he tried to cancel his season tickets, and Reinsdorf tried to convince him to renew his tickets, and he still declined. So that's something I heard from someone who has been a ticket holder, I think, since the 90s. Maybe not quite that long, but basically this dude's a longtime season ticket holder, and I was told that last week. So I don't know. Like, if it affects the money is when I think changes could be made. And, you know, after Ernie Grunfeld gets fired, I guess everything's on the table, but that's what happens when you lose a trade to Gar Foreman, I guess.
Yeah, that was like the final straw. Jabari has played well this year, but I mean, who knows what his future's there. He got hurt tonight. I think another knee injury. Hopefully it's not bad. I think I saw that it's not serious. But yeah, I mean, Otto Porter for Bobby Portis, Jabari Parker, if both those guys go somewhere else, I think that's a pretty bad trade. Sorry, Ernie. Getting fleeced by the Bulls, your final straw in a terrible season. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, we've been calling for the front office accountability for a while. I feel like next year, if they don't get better, it would be ridiculous not to have accountability for somebody. Like, one of the Paxson or Foreman or both. Like, something's got to happen if you're in year three of the rebuild, not going anywhere. But that's down the road. I guess before we take a quick break, do you have any other Any leftover takes from what's been going on in the NCAA tournament? Now we took Hoiberg.
Yeah, I mean, I could talk about that for an hour if you want me to. Dude, I've been doing so much radio lately.
I guess anything just Bulls, you think like that just pertains to the Bulls? Obviously, Duke lost a stunner. I guess you wrote a column. We'll talk a bit more about Duke losing. You wrote a column about the end of that, the Duke losing to Michigan State by 1 point, about Coach K not using Zion properly. We saw RJ Barrett floundered down the stretch, and Barrett's been kind of a polarizing player. I can't remember where, it might have been The Athletic, where there was like a poll among college basketball players. RJ Barrett was the most overrated one. I think he won most overrated in that poll. So I guess just talk about your column a bit about Zion not getting used properly, how you think he should be used in the NBA. Maybe talk about Barrett as well and what you think about him, because I feel like the Barrett stock has dropped a bit for people lately.
Yeah, I still feel like Barrett has like, I mean, he's definitely going in the top five. He's still a contender to go number two. I feel like he's likely to go number three. But it's something that has been happening to Duke all season. When Duke has had the game on the line, they've typically treated Barrett and Williamson like equals, and they got burned for it. You look at what happened on the last play of the game. I don't know if Coach K drew this up or what, but I mean, it was clearly Barrett isolated on the wing, and you know, he drew a foul. He ended up missing one or two free throws, but Barrett also took and missed two shots at the end of that game. At the end of the Gonzaga game, which was in the title game in the Maui Invitational back in November, Zion tied the game or put him ahead two, I think, with a minute 45 left. Zion didn't take another shot in that game. Barrett took five shots and went 0-for-5. Gonzaga won. So I think that was one of the main problems with Duke all year. And you mentioned the column that I wrote. Well, I needed to write some sort of reaction to the Duke loss. I like that I've kind of positioned myself as the hot take guy on some of this stuff because it's sort of fun. So that's what I had previously. The year they lost with Jason Tatum and Kennard and Harry Giles, I wrote that was Coach K's biggest disappointment ever. That was my post-game column on SB Nation. Afterwards, just because the hype for that team was so out of control. Obviously, Giles was hurt for most of the season. Tatum was hurt for the beginning of the season. Frank Jackson never really totally came through, but Kennard broke out on that year. Anyway, so I was trying to think of a new take for this year. And, you know, you go one of two ways on it. It's like, are you going to blame Barrett for kind of commandeering the offense in crunch time? But really, it's Coach K's fault. Like, only one of these – you blame the employee, not the volunteer. You know what I mean? Like, one of these people is making $8 million. The other guy is making nothing and is 18 years old. So I think at the end of the day, to me, this is a huge disappointment for Duke. Like, they set the bar for themselves that first game of the season. I was there against Kentucky in the Classic.
Oh, yeah.
They were a one-point underdog heading into that game. They come out and beat Kentucky's ass by 34 points, which was the biggest loss of John Calipari's coaching career at any level. So right after that game happened, immediately the talk was like, can Duke go undefeated?
Can they beat the Cavs? They basically peaked in game one.
And it was because if you go back and look at that game, I mean, all three freshmen were great that game. That was Bartish's best game of the year. Yeah. He had 23 that game or something like that. He looked really smooth. Barrett had over 30. Zion obviously was a monster and set the tone for a ridiculous season. So they had a few problems to me. First of all, they didn't have enough shooters. Now, you can make the easy argument that, you know, Coach K thought he was recruiting shooters, but these guys just couldn't shoot. I still don't really know if that's the case. Just because there weren't, like, Barrett didn't have a reputation as a good shooter, and neither did Jones. And when you were going to play a true center in Marquise Bolden in the middle, then, like, really, Reddish was going to be your one shooter. And, yeah, he did underperform. And they had Alex O'Connell, who was a veteran guy off the bench. He was okay at times. And then they had Jack White, who was, like, a stretch four for them, who was hot at the beginning of the year and then was, like, awful.
And then he missed, like, 30 straight at one point.
So they didn't have enough shooting. He didn't use Zion in ball screens enough. Like, to me, you either had to play Zion at point guard or center. The scout man, he was subtweeting me about this because I called Zion the best point guard and the best center in college basketball, and he took exception to it. Well, no, I'm right on that. Like, Zion's the best player by such a significant margin that he's the best player at every position. He's, to me, it's not even a question. He's the best point guard and the best center. Like, the scout man took crazy exception with that, but fuck that guy. No one respects him. I got a ton of hate mail for this piece, and it was mostly from. Yeah, I mean, it was the most hate mail I've ever gotten in my life.
Well, Coach K is like a god at Duke, obviously, and people, there's a cult of personality around coaches in college, and Duke obviously has rabid fans. Like, and that's no surprise. You come at the king, Coach K, like, people are going to come back
at you. It's just like everything becomes a proxy for the culture war. You know what I mean? Like, all I could think about when I was reading all these crazy emails that I was sent is like, what percentage of these people voted for Trump? that's all I could think about. And I said I was going to read off some hate mail. So I'll read off some quick hate mail. Some of it was funny. Some of it was kind of crazy. And normally I don't take hate mail personally because I've gotten a lot of it throughout my career. It kind of comes with the territory.
Yeah.
It was starting to bother me a little bit on Monday.
It's so like, weird to me. It's like, I mean, obviously, it's just crazy to me. It's like people like, email, like, take the time to, like, email you. Like, you're the fucking worst. Like, you need to die. It's like, you really spent, like, a minute out of your day to email somebody because you're, like, super mad about Coach K? Like, that shit's wild.
Some guy tweeted at me, and he's like, has anyone punched this writer in the face yet? Then another guy said, there should be consequence for writers like you who run their mouth with such disrespect. Karma will get you, or better yet, hopefully a speeding truck runs you over so there's a little bit less negativity in the world.
Yeah. The irony of that statement, it's like a little less negativity while you're tweeting at somebody that they need to like die. Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Subject
dude.
Line, your article. I just want to say that for my entire career, which has been over a decade of me writing my bullshit about sports at this point, the subject line, your article, has been constantly delivering the goods. Whenever you get an email with that subject line, you know it's going to be good. And this is from my boy, Bill Judy. Bill Judy, subject line, your article. You are a joke, ellipses, cheers, sent from Bill's iPhone. And then Bill gives me his number, so I kind of want to call Bill back. For my boy, Melliot, 1967, M. Elliot, he said, subject line, Coach K., then you, sir, are a dumbass. So that was good. My favorite one, though, came from Thomas Wells. Subject line K. I thought this was really good. When Coach K retires, I expect that you will be the first in line to replace him, as you seem to know what's best for the team. Remarkable when one considers how little exposure you have had to their practices, and yet you know so much. Duke played and beat all of the Final Four teams except Michigan State, beat UVA twice, a great season, ACC champs, one shot short of the Final Four. You are mistaken, says Thomas Wells. Now, that's a totally fair take, and that guy kind of cracked me up saying that I think I'm smarter than the team. Scoutman was saying that, too. I don't think I'm smarter than
Coach. It's like these guys can be criticized for – these guys aren't perfect. They make mistakes.
It's a fundamental misunderstanding of what – criticism and the function of criticism is. If you are freelance writing, Jason, and you're reviewing a restaurant and you write a negative review of the restaurant, that doesn't mean that you think you're a better cook than the cook at the restaurant. If you're writing a play review and you don't like the play, it doesn't mean that you think you could act better or you think you could write a better play. It's like, that's not the point of criticism. So I do think that Coach K totally left open the door for him to be criticized because this was one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the entire country when he can recruit anyone he wants, that he didn't put the ball in Zion's hands enough, especially in crunch time, when the only two people in the world who thought R.J. Barrett was as good as Zion were Coach K and R.J. Barrett. So I think that there's a ton of room open for Coach K to be criticized. And at the end of the day, if you can either blame Barrett or Coach K, I'm not going to blame the volunteer. I'm going to blame the employee. So there you go, Coach K. You make $8 million. You can have some idiot blogger criticism.
Yeah, Coach K will be fine. Like I said, he's a Hall of Famer. He's been great. But like I mean, he's obviously getting to the end of his career. I feel like he's just been kind of coasting on talent lately. Like I said, we don't know what he's.
I didn't write this one yet. I was going to make it a separate article. Haven't done it yet. Maybe I will in the future. This was the last chance Coach K will ever have to win a national title. How about that for a take?
Oh, that's
the recruiting class next year is not good. They got the number one player in the country, Vernon Carey, who is like a worse Jahlil Okafor. He is, if he is actually the number one player in the country, which he is on at least one site, I think he is on Rivals. I've seen him play. He'll be a good college player, but I mean, he's not like a stud by any means. And then they only have one other five-star guy who's like a guard ranked number 25. And then if you want to, there are a bunch of unsigned guys, so maybe they'll land a couple of them or something, but this next recruiting class is not going to be nearly as good as this one. And even if Trey Jones comes back, they're still, I mean, they're not even going to be close to as talented as this team next year. And then you also have the rise of Penny Hardaway is a monster recruiter at Memphis. All these five-star guys who used to be ticketed for Duke and Kentucky, now they're all rumored to be preferring Memphis as their number one school, all the top recruits in the junior class. So Coach K blew his last chance to win a national championship with the best player I'll ever coach, Zion Williamson. That's my take. And you can find my email if you want to tell me to go kill myself like people did this week.
I think that's a perfect way to segue here. We're going to take a few fan questions in a bit, but first, a word from our sponsors. All right, guys, we've got an announcement to make. Blue Wire's teaming up with Harry's to make sure our listeners are shaving comfortably. Always love a good shave. Go to harrys.com/bluewire to save $10 on a value trial set, which includes 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, a rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. You get all of that for just $3 shipped right to your door. Enough of the cheap razors, it's totally worth trying Harry's. Harry's has fixed shaving by combining a simple, clean design with quality and durable blades at a fair price. Harry's founders were tired of paying for razors that were overpriced and over-designed. Harry's bought a world-class blade factory in Germany that's been making quality blades for over 95 years. So join the 10 million who have tried Harry's and claim your trial offer by going to harrys.com/bluewire. All of Harry's blades come with a 100% quality guarantee. And if you don't love your shave, please let them know and they'll give you a full refund. Again, make sure you go to harrys.com/bluewire to redeem your razor for only $3. Great deal. Go do it right now. All right, so next, finish up here. We'll take some fan questions here. We asked some people on Twitter to send us in some questions about the Bulls, since like the current team's not that exciting, so we figured we'd maybe look to the future a little bit here. So let me go find some of the questions that we had here. We've kind of talked about this one before. This comes from, I think it's Daniel Habib, I think, at DanoH2345. If the Bulls do get Zion, what do you do with the front court log jam? I believe we've talked about this a little before. Like I said, we've kind of said just kind of put Zion out there, maybe go with like a big lineup and let him be like a point forward and let Zach kind of be a point guard as well. Do you still agree with that outlook? Just kind of play all those main guys together. Don't worry about a natural point guard, yeah, and just kind of see how it plays out.
That's what I would do. I mean, Zion can initiate the offense. I think that that is what would really unlock his value to be a great, great player in the NBA. And, you know, LaVine can initiate it too a little bit. And you can get some cool Wendell Carter initiating out of the high post action like Noah used to do back in the day. So, you know, I just think that like what you want around Zion, just hypothetically, is like another center who can protect the rim. And then you want elite shooters around him. So having Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter, that seems like it kind of works out. And plus, I think Zion's going to be able to defend pretty much all five positions, just given his combination of strength and quickness. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's best played on the ball because that'll mitigate his shooting weakness. Or you can, you know, throw him at center and do it that way. Just run teams off the floor with a super small ball 6'6" center lineup. So I'm all in on, you know, keeping everyone. And then, you know what, give it a year, give it 2 years. And at that point, if you need to trade Markkanen or Carter, maybe you can do it.
So on that note then, this was from K-Bar at K-Bar17. If the Bulls did get Zion, would you trade Lowry if the Hawks offered picks 2 and 6?
I mean, yeah, I would, even though I don't like this draft that much.
Yeah. Like, I guess like if that happened, then Bulls get Zion at number 1. So then they have 2 and 6. Who would you think they would take? Ja? You've said Culver at 2. I know.
That would never happen. Because the Hawks would never trade 2 and 6 for Markkanen. Yeah. Maybe the Hawks would trade 6 for Markkanen, which I wouldn't do if I was the Bulls. So I think that trade scenario is totally unrealistic because the Hawks would not trade 2 and 6 for Markkanen.
That's probably fair. Was that, would they have like John Collins? Like, I don't. Would they go with the Collins, Markkanen, frontcourt? I guess I don't know.
With Trae Young, yeah, that's not going to happen. But I like where his head's at.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like if – I can't remember if we've said this before. Like, I guess if you had to trade one, if they took Zion and I guess it just wasn't working with, like, a super big lineup, would you rather trade Wendell or would you rather trade Lowry?
Yeah, I mean, you need to see. Like, I don't know.
I agree. I would test it out first for sure before doing anything super drastic.
Yeah.
Unless you got, like, a crazy offer. Like, if you get a crazy offer for one of those guys, one of those big guys, like, sure. If it, I guess, balances out your lineup more. I guess maybe, but like I would like to see like Lowry get another chance to take another step and hopefully be healthy. And then with Zion, like that's a lot of talent, theoretical talent there. Like it would be fun to watch. Like Zion would obviously just make this thing so much more exciting. Let's go next here. This is from Kevin Shannon at Lucian Charms. I believe you say that. What is the next team to tear it down and trade quality starters? Or I guess, are there any trade targets you would like for the Bulls? I feel like, I mean, the Pelicans are the obvious choice here.
Yeah,
they're obviously trading Anthony Davis. So the question is, are they going to trade Jrue Holiday? We've talked a bit about Jrue Holiday. I would consider that depending, like if I'm not sure what it would take to get Jrue Holiday at this point. Like if the Bulls, their pick stays at four, like, or if they fall back to like five or six somehow, like, do you think it would take that high of a pick to get Holiday? Or do you think they could trade like a future pick and salary filler? I'm not too, like Jrue Holiday is a really good player, basically in the middle of his prime, two-way player. I feel like it'd be a, if the Bulls want to take a step forward next year, like that'd be a great fit. Like, I don't know if you would, if it required like the first round pick this year and it not protected or something, or if it was worse than, if it was like four or worse, like, would you include that in a trade for Holiday? Or would you rather just take a chance on somebody, one of the lesser guys and roll with that?
I feel like if you sign Jrue Holiday though, what's your ceiling?
Right, I guess just in this point, I've had this argument as well. Like, do you take the chance on the potential, just no matter what, or do you get Holiday, maybe become a playoff team next year? But then, what happens from there? I guess I've always thought, well, if you take the next step, maybe next season, even if maybe your ceilings drops a little bit because Holiday ceilings cap, like maybe that leads to further moves and you make a big move in like 2020. I feel like I would consider it depending on where they end up in the draft. I would obviously try to not use that pick, maybe use future picks to send there and maybe add, I'm not sure what kind of salary, what other salary you'd trade to the Pelicans or what kind of market that would be for. Do you think they'll trade Holiday this summer after they trade Davis? Do you think they go like full blow it up?
They should. What would be the point of keeping Jrue Holiday there?
I mean, I have no idea. No reason.
A lot
no
of
reason
teams could offer a better package for him than the Bulls though, most likely. Because like people aren't going to want to trade Carter or Markkanen, which they're going to want to do, and they're not going to trade the pick. So
I don't know.
I mean, a lot of teams could offer something better than what the Bulls could offer.
Yeah, and then I guess like another team. I feel like we've talked about Conley as well. I feel like Conley will take less. He's a bit older. I don't think I would trade that much for Conley. But the Grizzlies, I feel like, are probably going to trade Conley this summer. I mean, what would you trade? He would cost less than Holiday. He's older. He's been a bit broken down. He's still a really good player.
I'd love that, but it's like they don't really have many assets to trade.
They have all their first, right? Yeah. Moving forward. Yeah. I mean, I guess like you said, you maybe like a protected 2020 first. I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like you got to keep your draft ammunition. Like, I don't know.
I would agree because if things do go south like next season again, you obviously want like do you go all in on Mike Conley? Like I don't want to say all in, but yeah, I don't know. I guess in a similar vein, we have another question about Anthony. Like we talk about the Pelicans and Jrue Holiday, Anthony Davis. This is from William Martin at W_MW Martin. Say Jim Boylan gets fired and Anthony Davis changes his mind and is open to getting traded to the Bulls. What deal would you offer New Orleans that doesn't ransack their assets/youth? I mean, I feel like they would have to ransack their assets/youth if they would get Davis. I mean, we saw what the Lakers offered for Davis, and I feel like the Lakers are going to come hard after him again. Like, what do you think an Anthony Davis deal would need to have in it to get done?
Either Carter or Markkanen, probably both of them.
I would say I'd probably both.
Yeah.
And I guess they'd probably want the draft pick. Like, there's no way, like, if the Bulls got the number one pick, like, I mean, would you take Zion? If Davis said he would come to the Bulls.
Four pick, and they wanted Markkanen in the fourth pick for Davis.
I mean, yes, probably. Oh, no, I guess four. I probably.
Yeah, I mean, you'd kind of be stupid not to do it.
Yeah, I mean, you have, because then you have Davis. You Wait, have. If you have, I guess in that case, you have Davis, you have Carter, you have Levine, and then if you have, I guess
depending on the Cavs. Yakino, baby.
I feel like in that case, like Porter, it would be nice to get like a really good point guard somehow, like a real star point guard. I don't know. Yeah, it would definitely take, I feel like, at least. I mean, you still have to match the salary though. I'm pretty sure there too. Like, I don't know if they would want Levine at all. Like,
it's not realistic. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's really not. Like, I feel like the Bulls could, if they really wanted to, they probably could offer a pretty nice package. I mean, Levine, Carter, and Markin, I feel like, are all pretty nice assets, and they're going to have a nice draft pick. But like I said, the Lakers are going to come hard for it as well, for them as well. I mean, the Knicks might go, like, if the Knicks are getting KD and Kyrie, like, I feel like that draft pick will be on the table for them if they get the number one pick. And I mean, I don't know about their other parts, like Kevin Knox is, I don't know if he's any good or any of their other guys, but. The Bulls probably could put together a decent offer, but I think it probably would ransack their assets, as he said here.
Agreed.
Yeah, let's move on to the next one from Mike Blight at Michael Blight. Building through the draft is great, but what is the pitch for the 2020 offseason? So looking again to get a star player in Chicago. It says, quote, come play with Ja, Lowry, Wendell, and Levine, Otto Porter. Does that really get you anywhere? Do you think we're a team with high potential talent and little intrigue for free agency? And this kind of goes into like other questions some other people have asked us. Like, we got questions about just like, what do the Bulls have to basically do to become like an actual title contender? Like, what needs to happen? How do they get a legit star like that? What is their free agent, or I guess just star superstar pitch in the next few years?
Yeah. Well, the first thing we need to do is find a list of 2020 free agents, because my initial read is that it's not a good class.
I think Davis will be in it. And then, but like after, like this is the big year. And then I think it's like guys like Lowry's going to be old. Like I have to look up that class again, but I'm pretty sure when I've looked before, it is not a strong class. Like you'll have Davis, but then like after that, it's just like nothing that exciting. Like, we're looking at Kyle Lowry, Reggie Jackson, Fred VanVleet, shooting guards, Eric Gordon, this is not good. Small forwards, we got Gallinari, who's going to be old. Draymond's going to be a free agent that year.
DeRozan.
Yeah, it's really not anything that special. Like I said, Lowry is going to be one of the best guys.
It'll just be that draft class, but those guys are all going to be restricted, so they're most likely not.
I guess Conley will be on them, but that seemed like a 32, 33-year-old Mike Conley.
Williams, Gordon Hayward, LeVert, that could be nice. I guess he'll be restricted too. Yeah. Gallinari,
Mo Harkless.
Yeah, he's
anyone who followed me on Twitter long enough knows that I really wanted the Bulls to sign Mo.
Yeah, I remember that. Tony Snell. You could bring Tony Snell back. Obviously, Porter is going to be a free agent that year.
Siakam.
Who? I feel like the Raptors are going to make sure they pay him. They got to keep him around. He's really good. Davis. Aldridge is going to be like 34, 35. And then, so, yeah, it is not a great class. I mean, Andre Drummond. It's really not a great class. I feel like if anything, if they're going to get an actual superstar, I feel like it's going to have to be through a trade. I don't see free agency. This is the free agent year. If they're not going to be signing a big free agent this year, I don't see how 2020 is really going to be. They're really going to be players. Like, I mean, maybe they could steal a young guy if he's like a restricted free agent, but and a team doesn't want to sign him. But that guy's probably not going to be that good. So, like, in terms of like bona fide stars, like, I don't see how the Bulls are signing one in the next couple of years. Yeah. It's going to have to be through a trade or through their own development, which, I mean, maybe they do it all through the draft, or if they develop some of these guys and they turn that into a superstar through a trade. I mean, we've seen a lot of stars get traded in the last few years. So I'm not going to say it's not possible, but they might have to take a big swing. And it's something we really haven't seen them. The Otto Porter trade was good, but he's obviously not like a superstar caliber player. So it'll be interesting to see how they get that star player, whether it's one of their own guys right now, or they draft another guy, or if they trade for somebody. Let's see what else we got here. I think we got a few questions left before we wrap up. Here's a funny one from Don. what's the best argument for not firing Garpax?
Well, I can actually give that one. I've been thinking about this a little bit. Like, a lot of moves in professional sports are made because the GM is trying to save his ass and win now. So the one upside to having eternal job security is that you never really need to make a move only in the short-term interest of the team.
You can like a panic move.
Thinking about the long-term interest of the team, because even if you suck ass for 15 years, you're not going to lose your job. So I think that that's sort of the upside of it. Like, if the Bulls do pull off this rebuild, let's say they draft Ja Morant and he turns into a hybrid of De'Aaron Fox and Trae Young. Let's say that Markkanen, you know, evolves into a top 30 player in the league, and Carter evolves into a top 30 player in the league, and Morant's really good, and LaVine is LaVine, and it works out. Like, just the best case scenario in every regard. And they hire a good coach, too. Then, I mean, we would totally credit Paxson and Foreman for pulling off a great rebuild, because they would have earned it. And then you would probably look back on it and be like, well, these idiots, Ricky and Jason and a ton more people, wanted them to get fired. All the fans wanted us to get fired, but we knew what we were doing. And the reason we got the opportunity to do it was because we had great job security from our super loyal boss, who's the owner. So I guess that is that's it right there. It's like, how do they deserve to keep their jobs? Well, I mean, if they pull it off, they're going to deserve to keep their jobs. Like, you guys think Markkanen's good, right? You guys think Carter's good, right? Like, if they just keep drafting good players, and if they make one smart coaching hire, if they get a little lucky in the lottery, I think that there's a chance it could work out.
Yeah, they do have a chance. I guess they're basically their job security right now. I mean, I guess just besides being just the loyal owner and all that, is they can sell that we have these really nice pieces here. Let us play it out and see how it goes. But that's why I also think that if they don't actually take a next step forward next year, like, then they should be fired, or at least somebody should be fired, because whatever. But yeah, I think that's a decent way to put it. Like, it's like, I don't want to, like, it's tough to, like, say, like, trust the process, like, how the Sixers, like, a long rebuild, 4 or 5 years, but then also say, like, well, these guys need to be fired when they've been here, because they've been here for so long. Like, Hinkie came in and he set out this plan, like, this is what we're going to do. We're going to suck for this time, and we're going to try to build these superstars, and they needed the time. Like, obviously, these guys have been around for so long where it's, like, ridiculous for them to like, preach patience. But, like, that is at least a decent point. It's, like, if they're going to do a rebuild right, they need to at least get the time to do it, I guess. But, like, that's why I think next year is so huge. Like, if they're not showing any progress after year three, then I feel like something's got to happen. And maybe these guys, the corner, so-called cornerstone, just aren't it. But I think that's a decent way to put it. Let's do, like, one or more two last ones here. I saw a couple of things. I had a couple about Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn hasn't played in a while. I feel like he might have played his last game in a Bulls uniform, perhaps. I know somebody asked about what a package of, like, Chris Dunn and Felicio could get you. I would guess absolutely nothing. Probably like maybe a second round pick or two. If that, the Bulls might have to give a second round pick at this point. This is from Stucky. This will be our last question. Stucky at Captain Stucky. Is there really that big of a gap in talent between Shaq Harrison and Chris Dunn? Harrison would be cheaper, and I like his defense more. They obviously both are flawed offensive players. They need to improve their shooting. Shaq Harrison has, like, busted his ass all year and has been, like, really impressive defensively with his steals and deflections. Like, I mean, I guess, like, is there, like, a huge difference? Like, Dunn obviously has his moments offensively, but, I mean, Shaq's been doing all right. I don't know how much I want to say about Shaq Harrison, like, scoring a lot of points lately. Like, someone's got to score. He obviously still can't shoot. He did play really well down the stretch tonight. He had some big baskets. I guess if you had to choose between Shaq Harrison and Chris Dunn as a backup point guard in the team next year, who would you pick?
Archie Diakno, there you go. Situation.
Which,
you got to talk about this bullshit they're doing
with Archie Diakno. Yeah, I was just going to bring that up. I read some stuff on Twitter about that. I meant to look into that more. Apparently, it seems like they're holding his minutes down so he doesn't get to the, like, starter status. So then his qualifying offers doesn't get to a certain. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me.
Thread from our boy Ron. Love Ron. Ron was at Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game as a fan. We got to get this guy on the podcast. This dude sounds awesome, and I love most of his takes. He was a hardcore anti-Jimmy guy, which I think that's why we weren't initially jiving, but I've been following Ron.
Same, that is
Ron,
same, yeah.
AWSUMB, Bulls NBA Buckets. Ron rules. I agree with a lot of his takes. He's awesome. And he had this thread on Archie Diacono today. He said, "So the Bulls and Boylan talk a big game about name across the chest and honoring the game, playing to win. But in reality, Boylan has spent the last month carefully monitoring the minutes of Ryan Archie Diacono in games, who has been one of their best players this season. Why? Money. You see, Archie is scheduled to be a restricted free agent with a qualifying offer of $1.8 million. But here's the catch. A player can reach what is called starter criteria if he starts 41 games or plays 2,000 minutes. And then his qualifying offer goes up to $5.7 million instead. So it's jumped from 1.8 to 5.7.
Note on that, though. Our good friend Matt, friendly Bulls blogger, responded to him. I don't know if you saw that. The qualifying offer would actually be 3.6, not 5.7, and Ron said that was correct. He's saying correct, but still, that's like a double. The calling offer would basically double from where it is right now.
Okay. Yeah.
Still though, like that. I mean, that's still. I mean, 1.8 million. I mean, that could have an impact somewhere. Like, I don't know. Maybe
does that. Archie Diacono play today?
Let me go. He definitely was like. It's been surprising that he hasn't been starting. Like, they've been starting Shaq Harrison. They started Walter Lemon. Like, Archie Diacono played 19 minutes today, and he had 11 points in 19 minutes. I don't think he got. I'm pretty sure he didn't get hurt. Let me still look at some recent
minutes
box
or 17 minutes every game, pretty much. He played 30 against.
Yeah, 19. He had 30 in the Raptors game. 19, like, yeah, three of the last four he's played 19. Or no, that's the end of March. 19, 17, 19, 19, 30, 19. He's only played 30 minutes twice since the 4-OT game. It looks like. I know he got hurt. I think in that Clippers game, he only played 8 minutes. But yeah, I mean, clearly, like, and this is a guy who probably deserves to play more minutes. Like, he's had a pretty steady role all season. He played 27 minutes a game in December, played 30 minutes a game to start the year. So 30, 27, 18 minutes. And well, that's when, like, Dunn came back in, like, January. 21 minutes a game in February. And I mean, and he's played 23 minutes a game in March, but that was with the 38 in Atlanta. And like lately his minutes have been going down for like, and he's been playing really well in general. So it does seem like they are probably trying to keep those minutes down. Like, I don't want to go all tinfoil hat on here, but like, it certainly does seem that way. Right.
I'm into it.
I guess I will go Bulls like info wars here and say that they're definitely keeping his qualifying offer down.
It's kind of, this is all we got, man. All we got are these tinfoil hats right now. I want to go through a couple more because your boy, Lauri Markkanen's burner, he sent like five questions in. So
he did.
Let's find the one that he wanted to answer the most. Okay.
That was the one about the title. That's why I kind of mixed those two questions together. Is the one about title contender.
Well, they either need to get Zion Williamson or they need the player they draft this year to blossom into a superstar. They need Markkanen and Carter to be the best version of themselves, which I think is probably top 30 in the league type players. So if they hit the jackpot in this draft and have two other top 30 guys and Levine's maybe a top 60 guy, I don't know, because RPM stuff is so bad, but he did make some improvements.
All
signs of life.
Player.
He's an all offense player. That's how I think they can become a title contender. But mostly it would be getting Zion. Zion is as good as I think he is. He's just totally awesome. And he stays healthy. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I really. Yeah. Or they, like I said, we talked about possibly trading for a star. Maybe somebody comes available on the market. Like I said, well, they're probably not going to get Anthony Davis, but maybe somebody else in the next couple of years. Maybe they trade for somebody, a legit star, and they, with the whatever they have left over, they, with that player, they develop their young guys with a stud player. Maybe that they go that route as well. But in general, I agree with you. I feel like a lot of the development's gonna have to come from within and through the draft. They'll need a point guard, whether that's Ja Morant, whether that's somebody, whether that's Zion Williamson, whether it's somebody else in the future. I feel like they definitely need somebody that. Still need that main initiator on offense. Like, while Levine has been good, I feel like as the number one on a title team, I don't really see it. So they probably need somebody at least better than him. He can be a secondary guy, like the second offensive guy, I feel like, in terms of the ball handler. But number one on a title team, I'm just not sure about that. So, yeah, I agree with you there. Did you want to go through any of the other questions?
This is from our guy, TD Mouse, who says, someone posted today about the time singer Bruce Hornsby and probably beat a young Allen Iverson one-on-one in hoops. What singer would you love to find out secretly beat Markkanen in a game? I'm going to say Yannick Noah. France's biggest pop star, Yannick Noah.
Yeah, I got nothing for you on that one. So what read that question. Basically, what singer to beat Lauri Markkanen?
My boy Dan Hinkle, who is one of the best reporters in the city of Chicago. He covers crime and the police for the Chicago Tribune. He asked, are the Bulls good? No.
I saw that one.
They're not good.
No.
So my boy Don asked, are the Bulls going to address the reason why they are playing with RJ Diakono's money, and more importantly, even with as scummy as that is, do you think it's a smart business move? Yeah, it's probably a smart business move, but they also have I think it's scummy because
I mean, obviously, there's tons of moves. Like I've really come lately. Like there's tons of moves. Like when you talk about team friendly contracts and like, I mean, sure, yeah, all this stuff is great business moves. But I've like turned into really like pro player, like pro guys get their money. Like obviously, I'll still rip. Like if there's a bad contract out there, and you get. I mean, like Joakim Noah's contract was awful when the Knicks gave it to him. But I'm really super happy that Joakim Noah got his money. And I feel like that's what, like the outlook I've been taking on some of this stuff. Like, yeah, like teams can do smart stuff like business-wise. And there's so like some like natural stuff where like maybe you don't want to go throw a ton of money out at a player, especially in a salary cap league. I feel like with baseball, it's way worse with the stuff that's been going on in baseball. But yeah, I mean, if you're like intentionally keeping a guy down like a few million dollars in a situation like this, yeah, I mean, I think it might be to quote unquote like a better business move, but it's also just kind of fucking scummy. Like, is it really affect your team that much where like you really have to do it? Probably not. So like, yeah.
All right, we made it 57 minutes, Jason, when we said we were gonna go for 30. So
yeah, no, we always just find a way to keep rambling about stuff. Before we do go though, I do want to bring this up from tonight's game. Did you see the highlight of Cristiano Felicio?
Yes.
So, running off the bench while a play was happening, because apparently he was asking about, I think, the Wizards fouls. Very end of the game, Bulls were up one, trying to stop the Wizards, and there's a great shot, just highlight of, you see Boylan like trying to call out plays, and Felicio comes sprinting in past Boylan to try to get into play defense. The Wizards inbound the ball like right under the basket, and they get fouled, end up making the free throws. The Bulls obviously won with Walter Lemon Jr.'s free throws. Like, the Bulls almost lost the game. Cristiano Felicio, the fifth player, was sprinting in from the bench because he didn't realize, like, he was, like, asking a question. Like, how absurd is that? That's, like, the perfect, just, like, summation of Cristiano Felicio's career. Our guy, Big Chris, we were Big Chris fans around here, and it just hasn't worked out for him very well.
Nope, and now I never need to hear the name Felicio or see Felicio play ever again. That's just kind of where I'm at with him at this point.
I don't know if he's going anywhere. I mean, he still had two years left on his deal at whatever, like $8 million a year. Like, I can't imagine that's going anywhere, but never say never, I guess. Maybe they'll find a Rube to take him on. Poor guy. Like, seems like such a nice guy, and just hasn't worked out. Sad.
Well, Jason, this has been Cash Consideration.
Yeah, next time I think we're going to pod will probably be the end of the Bulls season. So that'll be exciting. We'll actually start to talk about the offseason, which will be a lot. We've talked about a bit about it today, but like getting into the offseason, getting into the summer as the playoffs come around. Bulls, obviously not playoff teams, but looking ahead to the draft more, and this offseason will be a lot of fun. I believe we'll probably be doing some pods talking about the playoffs as well, and the teams actually in the playoffs, which would be fun. But yeah, next time up, the bowl season will probably be over. Thank God, it's been quite the ride, and mostly terrible. We'll do a season wrap up when it's over. We'll probably be our next pod.
Well, I'm going to that'll be this week.
Oh yeah, there you go. That'll be awesome. I mean, I guess it is kind of a, I guess I don't want to say downer Final Four, but I guess it's not totally.
Well,
it could have been a lot more exciting. Like Duke and Zaga would have been way better than
totally.
I know, Jared Culver's a great story, possible future Bull. That's great. But, like, I feel like Michigan State – it's Michigan State, Texas Tech, right, on that side of the bracket?
Yep.
Right? Yeah, so, like, I mean, Duke Gonzaga would have been just so much better in terms of total star power there. And then the other side, it's what, Virginia and
Auburn.
Auburn. That's right. Bruce Pearl. Fuck Bruce Pearl. Like, and as an Illinois fan, I'd like conditioned to hate Bruce Pearl. I mean, good for them, but yeah, I mean, it could have been, Kentucky lost, Duke lost, Gonzaga lost. I feel like that's not really the Final Four many were hoping for in terms of the star power, but going to the Final Four will still be awesome. Said maybe ask Jared Culver about being on the Bulls in the future.
Yeah, so I'm doing that, and then I'm actually going to Vegas the next week.
Nice.
I'll finally be in my off season, and then a couple weeks after that, I'm going to LA. So I don't know. I guess we'll still make time to do this podcast, but we're gonna figure it out because I thankfully am gonna be done with March Madness. And
nice. Yeah, I'll actually next weekend. I will not be in Vegas, but I'm going to Louisville for a bachelor party. So I guess we'll both be gone next week, and we'll try to definitely get a pod in before we go if we possibly can. But to wrap up this bowl season.
Okay. Well, for Jason.
Yeah. Besides that, I think that's all for today. Shout out as always to Blue Wire Pods. We're gonna be ramping up playoff coverage coming up here pretty soon. Like I said, I think we're gonna try to get in some playoff takes for ourselves, even though the Bulls aren't in it. So that should be fun. So go fire and go follow Blue Wire Pods at Blue Wire Pods. Go check out those Harry's razors. That sweet deal sounds great. But that's all from us today. So from Jason and Ricky, Cash Considerations, the Chicago Bulls podcast. Take it easy, guys.